Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Of the many ideas swirling around in this past year, one stuck with me. Media guru Marshall McLuhan's notion that he could see the world better from Canada, hence his power to see things about media, culture, and society that the rest of us couldn't.
Since TV, the whole American political temperature has cooled down, until the political process is almost approaching rigor mortis.
McLuhan, whose centenary was celebrated last July, may have overstated the case for Canada, but not the case for perspective and distance. So much of what we see depends on where we see it from.
Canadians have a tremendous opportunity to observe what's really happening in the world. I think we're very lucky to be a backward country.
And it's not just geographic distance, of course. Nothing like a little cultural distance to put a spin on things.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Johnny Marks comes to mind, as he always does at this time of year. Marks, a songwriter who happened to be Jewish, specialized in creating Christmas songs, which he began to write after he returned home from service in World War II.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
It was a moment for American families with leisure time, picket fences, and visions of prosperity. Marks struck a chord, to say the least, with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was introduced at Madison Square Garden in 1949, sung by the cowboy star Gene Autry. His recording of it that same year sold 2 million copies, and Rudolph has sold more than 160 million recordings by hundreds of other performers in the last 62 years. Marks, who also wrote A Holly Jolly Christmas and literally dozens of other Christmas songs, said in 1980, "This is not exactly what I hope to be remembered for." But there must have been something about the shine and spirit of the season that could be seen with great clarity by someone with no belief system or complicated family associations or history to cloud the images. He could see the forest for the trees, you might say. Distance. A fact about Mad Men, which is starting up again in March. You may not know that in its first 3 years, the series, which ponders the strange predicaments of men in the 1960s, was written largely by women. 7 of the 9 members of the team of writers were women, and many of the directors were women, too.
What you call love was invented by guys like me to sell nylons.
Is that right?
Matthew Weiner, creator of the hit series, was quoted as saying it wasn't intentional, but he liked the women writers' emotional honesty. Those writers were creating women's roles too, of course, but an awful lot of what established the tone and atmosphere of the show happened to men. There's something about the way the women can look at it. They're inside it, but they're also outside looking in. Maybe they know more about Don Draper than any man could know. And regardless of gender, they looked at the period from a distance too. Back then, we couldn't possibly see it through all that booze and smoke, right? Even the Occupy movement benefits, if you can call it that, from distance, the dramatic distance between the haves and the have-nots. It's not just a distance anymore, it's that notion of the 99% and the 1%, about as far apart as you can get. And suddenly, the unmistakable drama of that distance just takes over the consciousness of the movement, and the people watching the movement, and the press reporting on the movement.
They say they are there to protest what they see as Wall Street greed, social inequality.
McLuhan was right. There's power in distance. I wonder if we could say something optimistic here. Because think of it. It could be that in this culture of bloggers, tweeters, and likers, sitting mostly alone at our devices, we can see better for the distance between one of us and the other, or even the distance between us and so-called real life. That would mean that maybe we'll be able to see collectively a way to climb out of some of the confounding deep holes we've fallen into this year. Here's hoping, as I walk far, far away. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.